Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
My name is Ian Cairns. I'm currently working as an independent consultant. I've started a new company called Watershed Strategy. And for the past 4 years, I've been at Development Seed, helping run the business side of our work there, everything from strategy and project management with clients to business development and, you know, broader stuff in the Drupal community. And even before that, I was a client. So I started working on Drupal back in 2005 and hired Development Seed early on. So I have some good history with the community. I'm in Washington, D.C., and I've been doing a lot of work in the past couple of years with Development Seed, increasingly in the federal government, and also with large NGOs.
And so talk about like what your job description now, or who you're working with and what you're doing.
Right. So the work that I'm doing now is a lot more as a project advisor, essentially. As projects in the Drupal community are getting bigger and bigger, particularly in Washington, D.C., there's a need at large organizations to, you know, have somebody working who understands Drupal, but who's maybe not always a vendor in the classic sense, to both help coordinate on big projects between multiple vendors, but even at a higher level, you know, figuring out, like, what does the big strategy look like to implement Drupal at a large organization where there's, you know, fundamental cultural changes that come with that, right? It's a paradigm shift to move from a lot of commercial-based software to open source, for instance, where you're moving from a procurement model that's based on licenses to one where you're having to focus on services and hire people, staff differently, budget differently. So there's all kinds of issues on that side. And then there's really this big cultural shift that's happening where folks are used to buying software that just does something and it's maintained by another person. Drupal's kind of this interesting thing where it can be a framework. And one of the benefits is it lets organizations customize it. But with that comes the burden of essentially becoming a product manager and managing your own software in a way that is much different from how a lot of government and NGO IT shops are used to working, right? So people are having to think about long-term cost of ownership issues, the implications of making customizations and how it looks to sustain them in the long run, you know, trying to figure out different architectural approaches to implementing a Drupal site and what one means versus another. You know, that's just in the Drupal community, and then there's bigger business implications. So the work that I'm doing is with those kinds of organizations that are looking to make the jump to Drupal at whatever level and who are really looking for help to navigate the ins and outs, both of the community, the software, and the broader business issues involved in using open source software.
I see. And in the government, they sort of have all these different like hoops you kind of have to jump through before you even start to like deal with these huge government clients. And so would what you're doing be able to, would any shop be able to do that? Or have you jumped through hoops? Or talk about like the different sort of discovery processes that you go through?
Yeah, right. So this is certainly part of life in DC. And I think it's a scary thing for small businesses to get into, which most of the Drupal community shops are. So certainly it's a factor of being there, a factor of having worked on projects. I've learned a lot about the hoops, perhaps sometimes more than I would want to know, but that provides certain advantages to help figure out how to work through these processes. And when there are Drupal shops, it would really bring a lot of value to a project, helping them navigate the waters and figure out how to get involved. Or on the client side, figuring out how to actually buy services from some of these shops that aren't in position to work with the government. There are a lot of bureaucratic issues involved there. And then there's bigger issues beyond just acquisition, again, just, you know, with 508 compliance, with a process called certification and accreditation that has to happen for each new piece of software that the government runs on its servers to say that it's secure and it's going to follow certain protocols. There's issues with hosting and, you know, just kind of knowing the ins and outs of that community and how to bridge the gap between what's available on the software side and from the Drupal services community and Drupal ISVs, and then what can be done in the government. It is part of how I'm spending my time.
And can you talk from a general sense in terms of like what are the big top-level domain government websites in the U.S. government that are starting to move over to Drupal? It seems like it's kind of spreading virally, but maybe you could just sort of catch us up as to like where things are at with Drupal and in the U.S. government.
Sure, yeah. I mean, so the long history that not everybody knows, it's interesting, right, is that the U.S. government's been involved for a long time in the community, going back to this Bayware project and some work that was done, you know, with Bright, which was the first commercial Drupal shop. So the Department of Defense has been using Drupal for, you know, 5 years or more at this point. But the big uptick was certainly when WhiteHouse.gov launched on Drupal in the Obama administration. And since then, right, there's been this big wave. So Department of Energy is going through a very impressive, large-scale Drupal project right now where they're moving all the Department of Energy sites to Drupal. The Federal Communications Commission is about to launch a gorgeous new site that I've seen that they're working on that's fully running on Drupal. Department of Education is using Drupal on a bunch of properties. Department of Veterans Affairs, I know, is using Drupal. We can keep going down the list. The Small Business Administration has moved several sites to Drupal, and they're currently going through a process, you know, to keep those growing into the future. So, yeah, I think at this point, it's probably harder to find an agency at the cabinet level in the federal government who doesn't have somebody trying to use Drupal somewhere. And what really gets interesting with it isn't necessarily these big high-profile sites as much as the long tail of smaller sites. And that's where Drupal provides some really unique value add, because where the big sites have big budgets and can bring in big teams, the smaller sites tend to not have budgets. It's not uncommon that a lot of these sites were initially just built by one person within the department who, you know, was tasked to spend a couple weeks or a couple months and get a site up online just to get online. And as those sites, you know, kind of decay, for a lack of a better word, right? Like, the technology is old. Some of them are just flat HTML still. They need to be upgraded. They need to look better for the sake of the brand of these agencies, right? So people can bring in Drupal to quickly turn on new sites. Open Public is this new distribution that Phase 2 just released. That has really interesting potential to let these smaller government sites get up online quickly. And then I think what we've seen too that's really awesome is that there are some government hackers. There's this government Drupal group that has, you know, last I saw, over 150 people involved on the listserv who get together, who actually share code, talk about best practices. And a lot of those folks are just putting things together on their own, you know, in their spare time or whatever they have during their work time, and building sites nobody's heard of, but that it's really making a difference in their work. So it's very cool. I think adoption is kind of here, and now the next step is figuring out how Drupal matures in the government community.
And where do you see your role in all of this? Are you doing stuff that you can talk about and stuff you can't talk about? And maybe just tell me, like, what you can talk about.
Yeah, sure. No, and nothing crazy or secret on my side. But, you know, I'm trying to help grease the wheels in a lot of places. So on the one hand, I'm doing a lot of work with a much larger consulting shop that has a lot of relationships at the C-level in the government, and they're providing really incredible strategy services to these organizations, helping them think through, you know, their 5-10-year plans, developing this kind of methodology and mindset for what it looks like to do product management and how to restaff your team, right? It's really interesting to think about how to help CTOs that have existing tech teams but who might not know Drupal, who are wanting to bring this in, instead of just hiring like a cool Drupal shop for a short contract, you know, how to retool their internal teams and really, you know, build capacity and help keep the existing IT teams, you know, really relevant and progressive moving into the future. So there's interesting work being done on that level, kind of higher level advising. And then, you know, I'm also doing work on the other side, you know, helping different programs that are going through an evaluation process figure out what it would look like to adopt Drupal, even to the point of, you know, writing RFPs and helping people figure out what the costs of doing a project might look like. And I'm in a unique place to do that as an independent consultant, where I've been in the community for a long time and kind of know the lay of the land, but I'm not a vendor who's going to come in next and bid on a project. So it keeps things, you know, more neutral for me to help on that side.
And there also seems to be kind of a tiered approach to getting these big, huge government contracts, where someone like General Dynamics will get the prime contract for the WhiteHouse.gov and then maybe bring in someone like Acquia or Phase 2 to kind of like do the Drupal-specific stuff. So, like, give me a sense of the landscape. Like, who are the big players in the Drupal world in the government?
It's an interesting question, right? So some of those names that you just said, you know, it's interesting. There's the big you know, DC tech community has, you know, systems integrators, and not everybody in the Drupal community even knows what that word means, right? You mentioned GDIT, you know, folks like IBM, Deloitte are big names. There's a lot of shops in DC that are more specific to the federal community. SRA is one that I work with on a regular basis. So those groups tend to have these big contracts, and they, you know, might have several years on a contract. And then under that, you know, they'll bring in subcontractors to fill in, right? So the Drupal community's got all these great shops. Jeff Walpole mentioned this in his talk yesterday about the variety of specialties in the Drupal community, where you have these relatively small businesses. And he was joking about, you know, one's red and the other one's green, but we're basically all doing the same thing. You know, Lullabot, fantastic at training. Four Kitchens has made a name around performance issues. You know, Development Seed around mapping, right? So there's these different groups, and the size of these projects, it really makes sense, instead of just having one shop try and do it all, to put together a good team. And this is actually something that's happened not just in the government world, but across the Drupal community on bigger and bigger projects. You know, The Economist, I know, had a half dozen at least shops involved in it. And I think it's a really cool approach, right? Because the Drupal community, despite there being different businesses, everybody's essentially doing the same work. And the more niche expertise that one shop has versus another actually is complementary. And this is a fascinating part of doing business in the open source world, right? Like, there are traditional business competitors who not just have to work together, but who actually have intensely collaborative relationships and are mutually supportive of each other. And that's logic that doesn't always make sense in the government contracting world, and helping, you know, both agencies and contractors that are used to the DC world navigate those waters in the community is something I'm spending a lot of time on too, you know, trying to help figure out, how do we make these projects successful? How do we grow the pie larger for the whole community and make sure that Drupal can be sustained and successful into the future?
Well, and I know that Development Seed for a long time has been very interested in open data, open government initiatives, and that it seems like there's been some legislation that's passed that different sites have to meet certain open data, open government requirements. And I'm just curious how you see kind of Drupal playing in, both on the technical side of actually implementing a lot of that transparency, but also in a cultural, like the open source culture, and infusing that into the government.
There's a lot of different ways to go with that question. So, right, there's kind of two directions. You mentioned open data. You also mentioned open government. And the two are often used together, but they have very different implications for what you're wanting to do, both substantively and on the software side. You know, on the open government side, usually what people mean by that is, you know, new forms of citizen engagement. And they might involve, you know, social media outreach. There's a lot of trend toward building sites where, you know, creative ideas or, you know, campaigns can be run to get ideas from people in the community or from citizens to help improve the business of government. I think Drupal offers a lot there that's nearly turnkey, right? With Development Seed and the Department of Education, we built a feature for Open Atrium that it was called the Idea Engine, Department of Education. That code was open sourced and released as the ideation feature on Drupal.org by Phase 2. And it works in Open Public, it works in Open Atrium. People can, instead of buying a licensed piece of software, stand up an Open Atrium site or an Open Public site with this feature and do that kind of citizen engagement work. So Drupal offers this quick on-ramp to do some of those projects. But I think what's interesting with both, you know, open data and open gov stuff, these legislation pieces you mentioned, they don't scratch too deep, and very few of them come with much money for the agencies to help get anything done. You know, so folks are looking for quick wins, easy ways to stand things up in the near term, right, in order to be compliant with the legislation or the, you know, the rules that are coming down. At the same time, though, these things really are values that the government's taking on. And I think what's going to be most interesting is how those values are internalized and played out in the long run, right? Like, as folks are getting beyond just needing to stand up an idea sharing tool to check a box and say they've done an open government initiative, what does it look like for everything the government's doing to be more collaborative? You know, there's kind of a line that's been crossed where, now that citizens have been invited to engage so much, particularly in this administration, it's hard to go back, right? The future of government looks like it's going to be more collaborative like this, with the public, with the private sector. So seeing how those kinds of collaborative approaches to government services, particularly online, can be served by Drupal in the long run, right? Like, there's going to be more opportunity there. On the open data side, you know, we've done some work with Drupal and big data sites. you know, it's interesting to see where that goes. Data projects are a lot more complicated. They kind of use a different paradigm from a CMS a lot of times. So for some open data projects, it can be a good fit. For others, you know, Drupal's not always the right tool. And it'll be fun to see, like, the way that CMSs emerged in the early 2000s and have really grown to maturity in Drupal, helping lead that pack on the open source side. You know, what emerges to solve the open data problems is huge data sets become harder and harder to manage, and more people at the same time want to be accessing them.
So. Yeah, I guess, you know, the development seed obviously is kind of morphing into, you know, running into a lot of the issues with that data and kind of turning to Node.js and other solutions for that. And but yeah, in terms of the culture, though, what do you see as, like, you know, the bottlenecks of kind of like making these initiatives really take off? Because it's one thing to kind of have the technology there, but it's another thing to have the culture of both our culture of citizens, but also, you know, the culture within government.
Yeah, right. So there's probably a few bottlenecks. You know, one that's near term is just cost. There's not always money for some of these projects. At the same time, that's going away quickly, right? Like, as Drupal distributions, installation profiles, whatever, you know, word you're wanting to put around that right now, as they become more pervasive and solve problems for certain verticals, it's going to be easier and easier to just stand up something very cheaply, very quickly. So cost starts to go away. Things like Drupal Gardens, right? Buzzer, like these tools that just let you log into a website and build something. And on the CMS side, not so much the open data side, those tools are very close. So, you know, cost is a factor, but it might be diminishing as the technology matures. You know, I think another factor that's probably bigger is more, like I mentioned, this culture shift. It really is a paradigm shift for the government to be thinking about how it integrates technology more implicitly into its business versus, you know, a history where it's been more about buying a piece of software that just does X, Y, and Z function and you use it or you don't use it. I think what's happening now, you know, how many government employees are on Facebook or on Twitter? Everybody's using email. You know, 10 years ago, like, that was a different reality. As business users, right, as, you know, everybody else is not an IT person across the government becomes a technologist and has more and more expectations around how they're going to use technology to get their work done, it becomes a lot more important to have a responsive development cycle, to be constantly evolving, you know, an agency's software stack to meet the needs of its users, to be responsive and, you know, getting work done better. And I think, you know, open source in particular is really interesting there, right? Because the pace of innovation on these big open source projects like Drupal is so much faster than a lot of private sector release cycles. And people can be more flexible, get more done, have the freedom to adjust to meet whatever needs are emerging. But having the controls in place to do that in a sustainable way and not create crazy long-term, you know, overhead issues from excessive customization, right? Like having expertise in place to just know where to pull from. You know, right now it's what modules do you use in the future? Who knows what that looks like? But right, you need some perspective on what you're building. Having, you know, project management and design practices that help guide user demands into a good direction that's sustainable. These are all like cultural shifts that I think will really be important to long-term success of these tools in government.
And finally, do you have any sort of like anything left unsaid or final thoughts in terms of like the experiences you've had with working in government and sort of want to communicate to people listening, either Drupal developers or people that are working within government?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is just that, you know, red tape aside and bureaucracy that people, you know, can be afraid of aside, treating government differently from the rest of the world, right? Like these boundary lines that are coming down around citizen participation, for instance, like building government technology and thinking about government-specific problems, I think is going to become less and less relevant, right? Like just being sharp on what the best technology is to solve a problem, thinking about not how does the government need to do this, but just how should this issue be solved. I think that paradigm for both developers and for government technologists who are involved in these solutions is probably really valuable. There's a temptation when there's a lot of rules and regulations set up to submit to them and, you know, let your creativity be driven by them and your way of doing things be driven by them. But I really think that it's fascinating the way that, you know, leaders in the current administration. Like, I think of Vivek Kundra, the CIO, and Anish Chopra, the CTO, and some of the people that they're involved with that are really pushing this aggressive technology agenda that's looking more and more like private sector technology, right? And I think people are getting educated on, you know, what's happening on the web, where technology is going, you know, and thinking about how Drupal fits into that is very important and will serve people well.
Okay, well, thanks.
You're welcome. It's fun.